Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cubs, go!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this, the 406th episode of the IVMB podcast. On this episode, we will look at what the Cubs did in this year's draft, which took place this week. We're going to talk about some trade rumors that have been floating around about the Cubs, and we'll talk about what areas of the team the front office probably needs to address in a trade. We will talk about the series that the Cubs just wrapped up with the Braves today, and we have some listener questions. Kurt will have a scary stat of the week, and we'll share some internet muscle flexes. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
And we are using huzzah!
Is this a run fest?
You have to run fair.
Huzzah! That's how I'm going to, blab was a weird thing to say, but huzzah is even weirder, I think. So we broadcast these recordings live so folks can watch. We used to use Blab. We were able to use it for about 8 months, and we liked it a lot. And then the developers stopped providing support, and parts of it just started to crumble, and it pretty much became unusable. We tried one last time on Wednesday night and ended up having to go to Google Plus Hangouts halfway through the episode. So I went out to try to find another live streaming service, and I discovered huzzah! which appears to be like Blab, but it's got some cool features. And this is a paid service that we will pay to use, which I actually like that it's paid on the internet, especially in the world of internet broadcasting. Free typically doesn't last. It doesn't work and it doesn't last. And Blab was free. So I would rather pay for something because if it's a paid service, they're probably going to take it seriously because they need revenue. So yeah, so using a service like this, it's made possible by our Patreon supporters, and it's for reasons like this and the fact that we needed a new mixer last week. That's why we have Patreon. It gives our listeners the opportunity to support the show and become part of the IVMB team. So thank you, Patreon supporters. And also, if you pledge at $5 a month or higher, we have an online hangout scheduled during this upcoming Tuesday night game against the Nationals. So you'll get the link to the hangout in your email or in the IVMB Patreon only Facebook group. We're limited to 10 participants at a time, so get there early, and if it's full, then just keep trying to get in, I guess, because somebody will probably get kicked out or have to leave or something. So now that we have that business out of the way, the MLB draft took place this week, and I would say that we and other Cubs fans didn't have much reason to pay attention to the draft this year like we have been paying attention to it for the last 4 or 5 years. The Cubs were not up at the top of the draft list. In fact, they were way, 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 way down the list, way down. How far were the Cubs down on that list, and what strategy did the Cubs take with the draft this year, Andy?
Yeah, well, they were pretty far down on the list. They didn't pick until the third round, the 104th pick overall. The reason for that was due to the signings of John Lackey and Jason Hayward. The Cubs would have had the 28th pick overall, but since John Lackey received and rejected a qualifying offer from the Cardinals, the team who signed Lackey then would have to forfeit their first pick, and that happened to be the Cubs. So the Cards then gained a compensatory pick at the end of the first round. And then it's the same situation with Hayward. The Cubs would have had a second round pick also, but they signed Hayward and lost it. So therefore, they didn't draft until the third round, the 104th pick overall, as I said. And with that pick, they took Tom Hatch, who was a right-handed pitcher out of OK State. Their strategy overall is pretty clear. 13 out of their first 14 picks were college pitchers. They did pick a catcher in the seventh round with their fifth pick. At the end of the day, they ended up with 26 pitchers and 11 position players. And most of those position players came pretty late in the draft in the higher rounds. So their strategy was pretty obvious: stockpile arms and see what happens, see what comes of it.
Did you say 14 were college arms?
13 out of the first 14 picks were pitchers, and they were all college pitchers.
Right. So, and I mean, the difference between getting a college pitcher and a high school pitcher is that a college pitcher could, you know, probably get through the system a little bit quicker and have an impact on the team a little sooner than a high school arm. And I mean, as we've seen, the Cubs have been taking for the last few drafts have really been stockpiling arms and trying to, you know, they have the elite talent in the positions at the different positions, but they needed arms. And, you know, I think by stockpiling, I guess if a couple of them work out, then you're in pretty good shape. You know what I mean? Like, I think I like the stockpiling idea because it's like they need, there is still a weakness, a pitching. I'm not explaining myself very well here. I apologize, but there is a weakness, a pitching overall organizational weakness, you know, for the Cubs with pitching. And I think that, I like the idea of college arms because I think, like we have seen this year, the Cubs need a little bit of help in the bullpen. And it's possible that one of these, you know, like I was listening to right after the draft, after the White Sox signed their first guy, I can't think of what his name was. Maybe it was that Birdie guy that they signed. And they were talking with a draft expert from Baseball America. And he said that it wouldn't be surprising if he didn't end up pitching out of their bullpen this season yet.
Wow.
So
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, if the Cubs were able to draft someone that perhaps they thought could move through the system quickly and be able to, and I think you're going to get that more often with bullpen pitchers because they maybe don't have to develop as many pitches and they can, as long as they have a fastball and something off speed, they can
good to go. Get in there, kid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Cubs did pick some high school age players, but not until the 22nd round. So from rounds 22 through 40, they picked up 9 high school age kids. You know, who knows if those kids will sign, but you know, those are the type of players, if they do sign, you know, they can take their time developing. But early on, they definitely went for those players that, you know, will perhaps have a chance of having an impact in, you know, shorter timetable.
So I honestly don't know the answer to this question, but so the Cubs gave Fowler a qualifying offer,
right?
Then he floated and then they re-signed him. So did they not lose a pick for Fowler because they gave
him they would have gained a pick.
If somebody else would have signed him.
So it's just a wash.
Right. So if somebody else would have signed him, they would have got that second round pick back.
Gotcha. Okay. Question answered. Thanks, IVMV.
Yeah, so I mean, just not I had a harder time kind of getting into the draft this year. And honestly, you know, I pay attention to Cubs blogs and stuff like that, and I just think there wasn't a whole lot of discussion about the draft. I mean, there were some, but not a ton, just because yeah, that's what happens when you don't pick till the third round and all the exciting players are gone.
But still, some of these guys they grabbed, of course, can be pretty good. I mean, and there's a lot made of, you can get some great pitchers from higher rounds. You know, I think Jacob DeGrom is always the example. I think he was picked in the 9th round or something like that by the Mets.
Well, Hendricks, I think, is like a 7th or 8th rounder.
Right. So you can definitely grab some guys that can have an impact and be, you know, viable pieces of a big league club. Yeah. So I was just looking at, you know, some of the first several picks that the Cubs got, and they're all pitchers who look to have, you know, pretty decent ceilings, but there's also, you know, just kind of asterisks for all these guys. You know, for example, Tom Hatch out of Oklahoma State, their third round pick there. He missed all of a season with a sprained UCL. That he didn't have to get surgery for. And then eventually the Oklahoma State staff dropped his arm slot to low 3/4, which it says after that it added more life to his stuff. I'm quoting the MLB site here. and that his new arm slot lends itself well to a slider, you know, so there's that. And then, you know, some of the other guys, it also just has kind of asterisk type stuff, like this could be a problem, you know. So these guys, you know, they could, you know, some of these top picks here could have a pretty high ceiling, but also, you know, they could end up being, certainly could end up being bullpen guys or something like that. So that's just like their strategy is, you know, let's get a bunch of arms. We've seen really good arms come out of some of the middle rounds before, and some of these guys could be those guys.
Right. And I think anybody that's listening to this that might think like, oh, that means in like 5 years, we're going to be low, or 7 years, we're going to be low on position talent. I mean, that's just not necessarily the case because, well, first off, the Cubs are a large market team that will be able to go out and get, you know, typically who they want or close to who they want. But then also, there's still the international free agency signings, and that is where, you know, the Cubs have been able to bring in a lot of talent that's in the system right now through that draft. So this doesn't necessarily mean that it's just going to be a strong pitching staff in 6 years with no position players. If you're trying to find Cubs tickets online, you know that many of the outlets can be frustrating and they try to sneak in huge fees when you check out. If that's your experience, you need to try SeatGeek. They've made it easier than ever to buy or sell sports and concert tickets. If you have Cubs tickets that you want to sell, you should try selling them on SeatGeek too. SeatGeek pulls in all of the available tickets from all the other sites into one place, which is very convenient, and they grade each seat on its value, so you will know if you're getting a good deal, and they're always upfront and honest about the price. The price that you see while you're shopping is the price that you're going to pay when you check out. I'm thinking about going to Cincinnati here in a few weeks to see the Cubs play the Reds, and I get email alerts to let me know when those tickets have gone down in price. That's really convenient. Best of all, SeatGeek is offering our listeners a $20 rebate on your first purchase. So here's what you do. Download the free SeatGeek app, tap on settings, and then tap on add a promo code. Enter the promo code Ivy, that's IVY in all caps, and after your first purchase, SeatGeek will send you $20. So download the app and enter the promo code Ivy today. So while we're talking about things on the MLB calendar, it's that time of the season when the trade rumors start to fly around. The trade deadline isn't until August 1st. Which is what, 6 or 7 weeks away. But I think it's becoming clear to some teams that they aren't going to be able to compete this year. And so they're starting to look at what pieces they have that they can move. And then there's also teams that are, you know, realizing they have great depths in certain areas and they can use those strengths to address weaknesses. And again, like the Cubs playing a different role in the draft this year, they're also playing a different role in trades this year. And for the last 4 or 5 years, really since Theo and Jed came into the organization, the strategy was to trade off valuable pieces and strengthen the farm system. Well, now the Cubs will be trying to strengthen areas of weakness on the major league team, and they could be using those prospects to do that. So, okay, I'm going to this is where I give the little disclaimer that I'm going to go on a bit of a little rant. I feel like I need to have a rant disclaimer right before I do it. So the rumors were flying around on really crappy websites that the Cubs were looking at Aroldis Chapman. They even went so far as to say that the Cubs were in talks with the Yankees to acquire Chapman. And I absolutely hate these clickbaity websites. Sports websites. I think they're terrible. And I'm talking about websites like Sports Mockery and others. There's other Cubs specific ones, Chicago specific ones. Sports Mockery is kind of Chicago specific. And these are the ones that just run with any story, any non-story, anything just to get clicks. You know, boobs. They've realized that boobs get a lot of clicks. Today I saw a Sports Mockery video that was just a pair of boobs bouncing to Go Cubs Go. And it had like their branding on it.
You clicked on it, right?
Well, you're because
only encouraging them.
Because I knew I wanted to. Actually, I didn't click on it, but I looked at it because I knew.
Like, this is research. Okay?
I looked at it.
Just research.
I didn't look at it
because I was like, "How crazy!" Anyway, I'm not. It's just trash. It's trash, and I don't care. And you know what? I know someone that works. I know someone that I work with. Has a close relative that is one of the founders of Sports Mockery, and I just think it's garbage. And so I guess, you know, like I said, these are the ones that just run with every story, every non-story, anything to get clicks. And then people spread these links over Twitter and Facebook groups, you know, for Cubs fans. They spread this stuff over social media because it looks like, oh, this is a real story. You know, it's just weird that we've kind of like, it seems like recently just the trash blogs have gotten so big or whatever, but I don't know. So I guess if you see a post on an article, on social media and it's Sports Mockery or some similar website, just ignore it. And don't, I guess if you don't want to take my word for it, then just keep track of the
boobs.
Right. Keep track of the articles that you see people link. And then after the 15th rumor article that doesn't come true, then you'll realize that they're junk.
Or that says that the trade deadline was that the trade deadline is April 15th
Right. Then you can, then you'll realize, oh, I can stop paying attention to these. So, okay, so Sports Mockery, they ran with a tweet from a dude that had like 1,500 followers, and it said that it would be Chapman for Baez, Adam Warren, and a prospect. Baez, Warren, and a prospect for what, 4 months of Aroldis Chapman? So, I don't know. I would not consider myself a blogger right now. We used to blog, but our focus now with IVMV is the podcast. But if I was blogging, there is no way I'm running an article on this rumor from this tweet. And so today, because I knew I was going to talk about it, I went back to reread the article. I mean, at the time, it just seemed like garbage, and I read it and kind of laughed at it. But I guess I gave them another click today. And so here's what – so they have the article, and then they posted an update. And what they did was they did an embed of Sahad of Sharma's tweet that said that the rumor is completely false. And so then the original author of this piece writes this in an update. I guess it's total BS. Makes sense when you see what names are supposedly involved. Well, no kidding. That's why you don't run that article, dumbass. Like, obviously it's BS. So I don't know. I just wanted to vent a little bit and to say, don't read that garbage. Don't post it. And it's not just Sports Mockery, but if you see a link, you click on it and it looks like it's garbage, then it's garbage. And stick.
So, I thought you were saying that Sahad have said an update on the boobs.
No. Like, so Sahad have kind of like sent a tweet like, yeah, this is completely false. This rumor that's being floated around through all these crappy blogs or websites. And so then they embedded that to say like, oh, I guess it's not true. Oh, I guess that makes sense once you think about it. It's like, well, why did you write a 600 word blog post on it when all you had to do was think about it? I don't know. So what I want to say is stick to the good Cubs blogs that are out there. Bleacher Nation, Cubs Den, Cubs Insider, The Athletic. Stick to those. Don't pay any attention to these trashy ones and stick to the good stuff. Get your information from them and just ignore the clickbait stuff. So, that was my rant. Let's talk about what the Cubs should do or could do in the trading period. And I think that we'll have plenty of time to talk about in detail about, any credible rumors that come up. But speaking of which, before we talk about what areas of the team we think the Cubs should shore up, let's kind of share what our personal approach is to rumors. I know we've kind of talked about this every year, but Andy, you've kind of always been more into the trade rumors than Kurt or me.
Yeah, I always look at them, but I basically give them no credence. I just kind of find them entertaining more than anything. I kind of entertain the idea of having a particular player that's mentioned and just think about it, but I don't give any sort of, I don't put any stock in them, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Kurt?
I see them pop up in my feed, but so I follow occasionally, but then I don't know. Yeah. I don't pay too close of attention to it.
Yeah, I mean, I pay attention to it enough to know what's out there, but I don't really start thinking about the possibilities like, oh, if the Cubs had this guy, oh, that'd be incredible because they could do this. And I guess I don't spend a whole lot of energy on the what ifs, really. I follow what's being said and then just wait and see what happens. I don't get invested in rumors. I guess is what I'm trying to say, because then, you know, if it's like, oh, the Cubs could bring in this guy and this guy and this guy, and then they don't do either one, but they bring in something else. You know, I think that's where some fans think like, oh, well, the Cubs lost in the trading deadline. You know, they didn't bring in the big names that they wanted, when it's probably not even true that they wanted those guys. And if you look at it, they probably came out, you know, they probably had a pretty good trading season or whatever. So I don't know. I guess I just don't get, I will stick around long enough to like hear of the rumors, but I don't like start thinking about the what ifs. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say.
I guess a good way to sum up my level of effort is like, when I hear a guy's name dropped, I will go to his baseball reference page.
Right.
Check it out. Like Andrew Miller. Okay. Let's check him out. Yeah. We know he's doing well this year, and then that's it. That's my level of research and involvement.
Yeah. So what do you guys think that the Cubs need? I mean, you know, obviously we're going to be talking about trades quite a bit here in the next 6 or 7 weeks, I would assume. But just what do you think the biggest areas are that the Cubs need to shore up?
A lefty in the bullpen. Aroldis Chapman. A hard-throwing lefty.
Was a history of having acrimony with current Cubs players
and girlfriends and
just all firearms. Kinds of crazy stuff that you don't want to bring into the great atmosphere we have going.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like without injuries, I don't think that the team really needs a lot, but injuries have popped up and the front office has already taken steps to address those, you know, Chris Coughlin, for, you know,
right.
But they've already started to address the bullpen to a certain extent as they've been, you know, picking up these sort of scrap heap guys, just like they did last year. They got Joe Nathan, for example. They got Joel Peralta, once the Mariners cut him loose. And even today, the Cubs just got RJ Alvarez off of waivers from the Athletics. And so they're already doing it. They're already addressing this perceived problem with the bullpen. I mean, it's pretty apparent, I guess, but they're already taking steps to do that, you know? And so I guess the big question mark is, are they going to go out there and grab a big name, you know, pitcher at some point? Who knows? But I just wanted to point out that they're already making moves to address the problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, I really think that the Cubs are just pretty deep in most areas. You know, like we've said, I think that a better lefty in the bullpen is what they need. And Clayton Richard just isn't cutting it. He has a whip over 2. He's really walking a ton of guys. His walk rate is up to almost 9%, which is pretty brutal. And however, I would like to say that I wouldn't be totally shocked if Richard is able to turn things around. His FIP is about 3 runs lower than his ERA. And I think if he can get control and stop walking guys, and by the way, his BABIP is over 400. So I'm not real optimistic. Yeah, I'm not real optimistic that he can turn things around, but I think there are some indications in there that he could, and it wouldn't be completely shocking. So, but yeah, I think they just need overall bullpen depth. And the good thing is, you know, the back end of the
And there was a lot of positive chatter about Richard last season.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The good thing is the back end of the bullpen is doing pretty well. I'm happy with Stroop and Rondon, especially Rondon. But when you're talking middle relief, those I think are pieces that are pretty easy to acquire, and you can find them about anywhere, kind of like they're doing right now, like they did last year. And, you know, last year they were able to patch a bullpen together without having to trade away any prospects. And I think that we'll see that again. I don't really expect the Cubs to be a part of any blockbuster trades based on how the team stands right now. And I do think if there was an injury to one of the top players on the team, then there could be something, because I really don't think that the front office wants to, I don't think they want this season to get derailed in any way. While we're on the topic of trades, though, Andy, you kind of referenced the Chris Coughlin trade. The Cubs did pull off a trade with Billy Bean for the A's, just like we predicted on the midweek episode, Kurt. We said the Cubs were going to work out a deal with Billy Bean.
Yeah, I think we speculated maybe a little Rich Hill action, but no, instead it was Chris Coughlin for Arizmendi Alcantara. See, I can't even say his name. But it seems obvious to me this was just like a, if I'm using the word correctly, this is just an alliteration trade. Cubs get Chris Coughlin, A's get Arizmendi Alcantara.
Just trying to line things up.
Yeah, Billy called. He's like, dude, you got a guy with five A's in his name? What do we need to do? And they're like, well, Chris Coughlin.
Right.
So that trade happened. Probably a good thing for Arizmendi. He was kind of stuck in the system, didn't have anywhere to go. So he moves over to Oakland. Hopefully he'll get a shot there. He looked like a pretty good player for a while, but won't be with the Cubs. So Listella goes to the DL with a hamstring strain to make room for Coughlin. And then Coughlin fills that spot nicely. You know, another left-handed bat. They can play outfield and some other positions, infield too. So, you know, Cubs fans should be pretty familiar with Coughlin, so I won't go into a ton of detail about him. But he did have a terrible start with the A's. He was only hitting, or his slash line was 146, 215, 272. So downright awful. But he's kind of already made a slight impact in the first couple games he's been with the Cubs. So hopefully he'll be what he was last year and not what he started as this year.
Right. Yeah. So kind of interesting. It's weird to see players like that come back, but I think that this front office tends to do that. You know, if you look at who's on this roster right now, they're tied to them. Every player, it seems like in previous areas, you know, other than the guys that the Cubs brought up through their system, when it comes to the trades and free agents and stuff, they like to stick to the guys that they know. So I guess it's not completely shocking that Coughlin would come back, but it did catch me off guard, I guess.
Yeah.
By the way, does he have a nickname that you guys know of?
Oh, shut up. Oh, man.
So Briquette.
I don't like his nickname. I don't know why, but I just don't. You know what? Let me look at something real quick. I'm trying to remember. I can't really remember his contract status.
You know, I looked for it, and I was not able to figure out who's paying for what. You know, because he signed.
He's like Milton. He hasn't been getting paid for months.
Last week, I did not receive a paycheck.
Well, if you look at, like, I tend to use COTS, baseball contracts on baseball prospectus. If you go to the Oakland Athletics one, then Arizmendi Alcantara is on there. And if you go to the Cubs one, so on the A's one, Alcantara is there and Coughlin is not. And if you go to the Cubs one, Alcantara is there and Coughlin is not. So
weird.
But the part of the whole reason to get rid of Coughlin originally was for money and space for Fowler.
Right.
So assuming that the A's took on his salary, but now do they take it back?
I have no idea.
I think that the Cubs had him signed 2015 through 2016, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm sure if I dug around a little bit longer, I could find it, but it's not on COTS. So, okay, let's move on. So let's talk about this Braves series. The Cubs won the series 2-1. By the way, that puts them at 43-18, a winning percentage of .705, on track for 114 wins.
Well, that's not very good.
No, it's not good enough because they lost in game one. And how do you lose to a team like the Braves?
And a pitcher like Bud Norris, who just happened to have a really great day on the mound.
Yeah. So the Cubs have a 99% chance that they will go to the playoffs, according to 538. And their lead in the division is, what, I think 9.5 games over the Cardinals. The Cardinals have moved ahead of the Pirates. I think it's either 9 or 9.5 games. So as far as this Braves series goes, any takeaways from that, guys?
Well, I mean, today's game was delightful. I mean, it was just kind of the Cubs doing what they should do to a team like the Braves. But then you have game one looming in the back of your mind. I mean, it's just, you know, if the Cubs get a guy who's just on his game that particular day, a yep. pitcher who is just really sharp, you know, they can certainly struggle. But yeah, and then for game one, I want to say that Clayton Richard pitched a clean inning.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really bummed because I missed. Okay, so I listened to today's game on the At-Bat app. I took my daughters had two of their friends over, and so I took them swimming, and I sat on the dock and listened to it. And I missed all of the run scoring in like what was it, the seventh and eighth inning, because we had a slight snake issue in the water. So I had to turn it off because I was on lookout because a snake had made its way into our area, and I had a spade that I was trying to kill a snake with. So I missed all the scoring.
Are we talking garter snake or like a...
No,
like
a... no. It was a water snake. And so, I don't know. It was probably, I would say, maybe 2.5 feet long. It was pretty thick around too. And it was, I ended up finding that it was kind of like protecting its nest. I saw a bunch of little baby snakes and I was like, oh that's no. And so like, I don't know snakes well enough to know like what is like muscles. I don't know.
I know snakes well. Yeah.
I don't know. Like what is any snake in the water makes me nervous. Any snake in general makes me nervous, but like, I don't know what's a cottonmouth or a copperhead or what's just like a, you know, just a water snake. I don't really know. So
this podcast is becoming the weekly gaps in our knowledge podcast. You know, the midweek episode with you and Kurt was, we don't know mussels. This week is we don't know snakes. What is the gap that's going to be revealed next week going
to
be?
There are lots of gaps. I think if anybody took a microscope to our knowledge, I think they would find lots of gaps. We have very gappy knowledge.
Gappy.
Yeah, even you combine all three of our brains, there are still just immense gaps.
Gap to gap power, but gap. Oh, man. Yeah, so anyway, I mean, this series, Almora Jr. gets his, you know, his first taste of the big leagues, and he's done pretty well so far. I mean, we saw him make a great sliding catch near the wall.
Yeah.
We saw him throw a runner out at the plate. We saw him get a couple base hits. So he's doing his thing at the big league level.
Yeah. Yeah. He is a fun guy to watch. I'm not sure I'm used to the Almora Jr. thing yet, though. That's throwing me off.
You could tell it threw Len off at 1.2 because he said Almora Jr. and it just sounded really forced and awkward.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Cubs fans got a little bit nervous when we found out that Anthony Rizzo would be out of Friday's game with back tightness. Baez got the start at first base in place of Rizzo, and Madden said that it was absolutely day-to-day, and then Rizzo was back in the lineup on Saturday. And I think you just kind of hold your breath whenever there's any sign of a Rizzo injury because of how valuable he is and how much he means to this team. And he's really starting to heat up, too. I think he has an 8-game hitting streak. I'm not sure, but I think that's what it is. But he's on pace to hit more home runs than he did last season. He's got 14, and we're still a month from the All-Star break. He's hitting .257. He has an OBP of .384 and an OPS of .908. But in the last seven games, he's hit .385. He has an OBP of .429, and he's slugging .692, two home runs in those seven games. And overall, he's walking more than he did last season, and he's striking out less. And so he's doing just about everything you'd want him to do right now. And I'm not in that clubhouse, but he seems like the leader of this team. And as fans, I think any possibility of injury is alarming, especially considering that the Cubs don't have, you know, I think first base is often a position where you don't have an ideal backup. And I think the Cubs... It's kind of nice that at least they do. I mean, remember a couple of years ago, did Coughlin backed him up at first base? I mean, it just seems like we had some.
I remember Steve Clevenger. Clevenger,
oh, yeah.
First base.
Yeah. So, I mean, at least now it's nice that we know Bryant can do it. We know Baez can do it. Coughlin's back. He can do it. So You know, I like the idea. There's no, I don't see any reason right now, especially in a game against the Braves. I don't see a reason for Rizzo to play through injury or perhaps, you know, make things worse. I'm all about him getting days off, especially here as we come into the hotter months of the summer and everything.
Still, though, it's hard to overstate his importance to the team, as, you know, in that game where he missed the game because of the back issue, the Cubs only got four hits and only managed one run on four hits. In the next game on Saturday, they got 13 hits and scored eight runs with him back in the lineup. I'm not saying that's just because he was back in the lineup, but it certainly has a positive effect on the team when he's in there.
Well, and he's hot. He's producing right now. So, yeah, and anything can spark a team, I guess. Anything you wanted to add in about this series, Kurt?
I was going to kind of touch on the fact that it's like, it does feel a bit like a broken record, like against these poor teams where a couple of blowouts and a terrible start, no runs against a not so great on paper pitcher. But I think that's a little short-sighted. But it has happened the last couple of series. Well, I guess the last three, really, because the Diamondbacks are subpar team, and they've kind of done this the last three series.
Right.
But, you know, if you can win every two out of three, that's still a pretty good season.
Right.
Well, and two out of three on the road, too. I mean, yeah, the Braves are bad, but if you're, you know, winning two out of three on the road, that's pretty good.
Well, like you said, you can always face a pitcher that's going to have his day, you know.
Yep. And that's kind of what's been happening. It's like where the offense just disappears for a game, and then they sort of sandwich it with these ridiculous, huge scoring offensive outputs. So,
yeah, eight runs on Saturday and 13 runs on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't gone for long.
Yeah. We have some listener questions, but before we get to those, don't forget about John Baker Day that's coming up. It's a joint event with us and the Sun Ranto podcast. It is July 29th. We're celebrating the two-year anniversary of the John Baker game. We're going to meet at Nisei Lounge at 11 a.m. John Baker will be there. He's going to do a little Q&A. Danny Rocket will be there to play the Ballad of John Baker. Katie Day will perform by the lakeside live. And then if you would like to join us, we'll be going over to the Cubs game. We'll be in the bleachers, so just get your own bleacher ticket. The cost for this event is $25. That gets you in the event a John Baker Day t-shirt, which is pretty awesome. Kurt designed it, and it gets you a drink ticket. All of the proceeds go to Cubs charities, and if you want the shirt but can't make the event, you can still go through the normal process on our website, ivmv.com/John Baker. You can buy the ticket, and then we will contact everyone to find out if you'll be attending the event or if we need to ship your shirt to you. So again, go to ivmv.com/John Baker. So we have a few emails here that came in. This first one's from Bob from Chicago, and it says, it goes without saying the Cubs' pitching statistics have been incredible this year. However, how much of that credit should go to the defense? You look around the diamond and Hayward, who hasn't been great offensively, has shown on several occasions why he's a gold glover. Rizzo is always solid at first. Russell is a lockdown stud at short. Zobrist doesn't have a single error, although he got one today, right? I believe.
Yep.
And Baez, who was supposed to be the new Zobrist, has been so good at third that Bryant is now the utility man and a damn good one at that. He said, you guys do a great job of giving credit where credit is due a lot of times when traditional media ignores it. And I thought this might be some time to give some love to the defense.
Yeah, generally that's been true. Although today was pretty bad defensively, but you know, you can be bad defensively and be okay when you get 16 hits and right. 13 runs. So yeah, they had four errors today. But if we could sort of brush today aside, he's right that, you know, guys have been performing really well. And a lot of guys, a guy at second, you know, not making an error until today, that's still a pretty good stretch.
Right. Yeah.
These are the type of guys that make spectacular plays regularly, too. And so some of these guys like that kind of blinds us a little bit to the fact that they have made some routine errors. For example, Russell has six errors and he's slightly below league average fielding percentage at shortstop. He's at 973 and the league average is 975. but I, you know, I don't expect that to stay that way. I mean, he is, as Bob says, a lockdown stud at short. But man, these guys have made some incredible plays. And I would expect that they will, you know, their fielding percentage, you know, in the case of Russell will probably go up, you know, as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mentioned on our last episode that Fowler's defensive numbers kind of jumped out to me last week when I was looking at stats. And Dexter Fowler, or Derek Fowler, if you were listening to Pat Hughes do the player introductions at the beginning of Saturday's game. I'm not an expert with defensive advanced stats, but it's pretty clear that he's improved, and fairly dramatically. So there's a DRS, which is defensive runs saved. And last year, Fowler had negative 12 defensive runs saved. This year, he has plus four. So that's an improvement of 16. And he has better numbers as far as measuring his value with his arm. And maybe you've heard of UZR, Ultimate Zone Rating, which is kind of a comprehensive look at defense, considering arm, range, errors, all that. And so when you scale UZR to the entire season, his UZR is 12.9. So to put that into context, in his previous eight seasons, his next best season, other than, you know, if you take out this year, is 12.9. His best season is last season, which was -1.9. So almost 14 better than his previous best season. And in 2014, the year before he came to the Cubs, he was with the Astros, and his UZR scaled to an entire season was -36.2. So Fowler ranks number four in all of baseball center fielders in this category of UZR scaled to the entire season, ahead of Mike Trout, ahead of Billy Hamilton, Andrew McCutchen, Lorenzo Cain. So he has dramatically improved in the field. And I don't know enough about defensive stats to know for certain, but I think that those improvements are kind of rare for an outfielder in their age 30 season. I would say this is where you probably see guys not being able to cover as much ground and probably losing a step in the outfield. But I would say it's pretty clear that the Cubs have helped make him a better outfielder, between last year and this year, and most likely through positioning. He's playing deeper, balls aren't being hit over his head as much. And I also think that having Hayward to his left probably helps him too. By the way, Hayward's UZR projected to an entire season is almost 30. So definite improvement in the outfield this year to last year. So
yeah, and then if you get Almora playing left,
right,
it's a pretty stellar defensive outfield.
Yeah. Yeah. We have another question here. This one is from at Sam James Graham on Twitter, and he says, which Cubs player is most likely to accidentally call Joe Madden dad? From an English Cubs fan. So,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I think everybody at some point has accidentally called a teacher mom or dad.
Do you have students call you dad?
No, but man, that would crack me up. It hasn't happened. I mean, probably mostly because I teach 12th graders. So, like at that point, you know, hopefully, you know, it's just not going to happen. But, you know, kindergarten, I remember accidentally calling teachers in kindergarten, first grade, whatever, mom by accident.
Our youngest daughter, she calls Tawny her teacher's name sometimes. Kind of a role reversal there, I guess. So can you guys see any of the, I think it's Schwarber, because I think like Schwarber is the one that's like, you know, he's kind of the clumsy one, kind of klutzy, and like just kind of the goofy things happen to him. And I could see him saying it.
Yeah. But any of the younger guys, really, you right. know, I could see calling Madden dad, or even worse, grandpa.
No, that's safe for the 38-year-old, 39-year-old.
For Rossi.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, he has another one here. He says, choice out of the Cubs trading away Chris Bryant for Prince Fielder and being stuck in an elevator with Justin Bieber for 48 hours. So if you had to choose between one of those two scenarios.
Oh, man. I'm hanging out with Biebs.
Yeah.
In this scenario.
Give me Biebs.
You can't do it.
What? You would trade Chris Bryant for Prince Fielder just because you couldn't be in a... You know what? What if you...
It's only 48 hours of pain.
That's nothing.
But it's taking one for the team, I guess, to hang out with Justin Bieber. Is that the way you guys look at it?
You know what? Maybe he could make you a better person.
There's an end in sight to the pain.
Right. Yeah.
What if Bryant, I mean, you're stuck with Fielder.
What if you could just have a heart-to-heart with Justin Bieber and just change his life?
Yeah, right. Listen here, you little... That's how I would start out my talk.
I bet he'd be real receptive to that. I bet nobody said that to him before. Okay, and then have one here from Sam, and he says, why does Madden no longer bat the pitcher eighth?
Madden himself has kind of addressed that with the development of Addison Russell, as he liked him, and he just quoting Madden, he says, and I thought if Russell had hit eighth in front of the pitcher, that would have thwarted his development somewhat. So number one, he liked him having a little protection. And he says, I liked him in the nine hole. We were talking about the two hole with Anthony and Chris a lot in 2015 and trying to get a position player to get on base more consistently to feed the two. This year, he says, I think the dynamic's going to be a little different, and I also believe Addy can hold his own a lot better. Batting the pitcher eighth may still happen on occasion. You may still see it, but not with the same consistency. So it's kind of a developmental thing as Addy was, you know, the...
Right, just kind of easing him in.
Right, and, you know, setting the table, obviously not the first time through the order, but in subsequent times through the order, setting the table for... I liked how I heard Pat call, after Hayward got done with his at-bat, the big boys. Hayward got on base for the big boys. I'm like, have you seen Hayward, my man? but yeah, like, you know... Just potential for having another sort of leadoff hitter, you know, another guy that can get on base for, you know, the guys with a lot of power like Rizzo and Bryant to do something with.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and we actually got a tweet at us earlier. I'm going to find it right now. I think it was a tweet. Oh, yeah. Said, can we show some love to Chris Bryant on tonight's episode? I feel like we overlooked that this is only his second year and not a seasoned vet. And isn't it bizarre how much Chris Bryant kind of flies under the radar?
Mm-hmm.
It is. I mentioned that on the broadcast today, too. Just crazy. I mean, the dude, I mean, he's killing it.
Yeah.
Last season, he ended up with 99 RBIs and 26 home runs, and that was in 559 at-bats. So, ostensibly, he'll get a few more at-bats this season just because of the games that he missed out on last season. But in 2016, he's driven in 45 already, and he has 15 home runs already. And so he should end up, you know, if you just get into the projections, should end up with around 105 RBIs and 30 home runs this season, which would be better than his totals from last year. I mean, as they should be. But if you look at his numbers, it's just kind of striking how consistent they are with what his numbers were last season.
Right. Yeah.
As you know, he has that high strikeout percentage, but he also has that really high walk percentage. That being said, you know, so far this season, the strikeout percentage is down a little bit, and the walk percentage is down a little bit too, but I would expect that to kind of just end up maybe about, you know, to him to have similar numbers to last season, really, overall. And that's a great thing.
Well, his strikeout rate's dropped quite a bit. It's down 8%, which is pretty dramatic. It was at 30.6, and now it's at 22.6.
I still would kind of expect that to creep up a little bit. I don't necessarily expect it to end up at 30%.
Right.
Which is pretty, I mean, it's, you know, it's, he's a power hitter.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So the strikeout rate is going to be kind of high, but also, you know, I mean, he walks a lot. So,
yeah. And it just takes incredible at bats. I mean, that's something that like kind of stood out from day one with him, is you just don't expect to see a rookie be as seasoned as he is, you know, and really is like just patient at the plate and as good of a hitter as he is. And
it's amazing. I mean, he's just going to wait for that pitch that he can destroy. And if he doesn't get it, yeah, sure. You know, throw me ball four.
Right.
I'll happily go to first base if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We do, but he does. He just kind of flies under the radar. He just doesn't. He's so like just consistently there that you, I don't know. I don't know why he, like, why we don't talk about him more, or why, you know what I mean? It's just like when I saw that, I was like,
he's not pissing us off. It's probably the wrong term now. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people are getting on Soler because he struck out in a couple of key positions. So
right.
Of course he comes to mind when you're talking about clutch performances, but then with Bryant, you know,
or Baez, you know, not, somebody that kind of goes up and down. You're maybe more so likely consistent to spend time talking about them. He's just very consistent and a lot of fun to watch. And it's just interesting to see.
This is the guy who was tied with Rizzo before today for the RBI lead on the team. And he leads the team in home runs
right
after today. So it's ridiculous that he doesn't demand more of our attention.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Kurt, do you have a scary stat for us?
I sure do. Thanks to you, Corey. You kind of pointed me to this one. There are a total of 6 pitchers in baseball with a whip under 1. The number 1 is Clayton Kershaw, which that's kind of the only bad news about this scary stat. But then 2, 3, 4, 5 are John Lackey, Kyle Hendricks, John Lester, and Jake Arrieta. So, you know, you're 2 through 5 in whip, leading whip in all of baseball are all Cubs pitchers. And then kind of adding to that, there are only 3 pitchers with a whip under 1 and an ERA under 2. And 2 of those are Cubs pitchers, being Lester and Arrieta. And then, you know, poor Jason Hamill's floating down there at 23rd in baseball, which isn't that horrible for your number 4 starter. So, you know, we've touched a lot on how good Cubs starting pitching has been, but that's pretty incredible that they're all that good.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very impressive. I don't necessarily expect that to stay, you know, to last till the end of the season, but it's definitely been a lot of fun to watch. So do you guys have any internet muscle flexes?
Yeah, I have one.
Okay, I have one too. I'll do mine first. I'll get mine out of the way. Mine is actually a muscle flex. These are some of my favorites. An internet muscle flex from at Cubs. They flexed on somebody, which I get a kick out of. So I don't know. I think it was yesterday. This person tweeted at the Cubs, "Can I get a lineup for today?" And at Cubs says, "Yes, when we post it." And then the person replies with saying, "Can Montero and Zobrist start, please?" So then at Cubs says, "As a Twitter account, it is not our decision who starts. We are told, and then we type the names into a Photoshop graphic." It was kind of a gentle flex.
Yes.
So go ahead, one of you guys.
Okay, I'll jump in. Mine's kind of a throwback. I went back to Cubs.com, and this references some of the old language that used to float around. And this person is fairly new, I would suppose, to the commenting thing, but they asked the people in there, "How do I not be commenter?" And then somebody replied and kind of gave instructions on how to change their name. And then that person replied again, "Thank you. I am now officially Cubs nerd. Let the dunce post accusations begin." I like the dunce reference. And
oh man,
you got to go to Cubs.com to see some dunce dropping.
Yeah, I haven't heard dunce in reference to internet muscle flexes in a long time.
I know.
Okay, so I found a post of guys complaining about Lester not being able to field bunts or throw throw to first, stuff like that. And one commenter says, John Lester has a 2.06 ERA, nine out of 12 starts of one earned run or less. For comparison, Jake Arrieta has seven such starts. That's what you pay a pitcher to do, not give up runs, but clowns want to talk about bunts and pick off throws. So I kind of like that. That's a pretty strong flex. But then another guy right after him posted a picture of a skull, like an x-ray of a skull with a pile of poo inside. And it says, your results came back. It's not a tumor. So I kind of enjoyed that. And then one more bonus flex. A guy on the same thread that's just a game day thread as far as the, you know, with the Cubs playing the Braves, posted links. It says, please visit, watch, and download most popular movies now, 4 exclamation points. And then it has 20 links to different movies to go watch online. And the reply to that is, I just downloaded all 20 movies and watched them. All of them sucked.
Oh my gosh.
Another guy later in the thread just posted, I just come here for the movie links or something like that.
Oh man.
Oh, the internet.
So that does it for this episode, which is brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. We have three new Patreon contributors since our last episode. Brandon from Sherwood, Oregon, Jamie from Cheshire, Connecticut, and Victor from Rain, Louisiana. Jamie and Victor come in at Hall of Fame levels, so thank you to Brandon, Jamie, and Victor. Patreon is how we pay the podcasting bills. We upgrade equipment, and it helps us do some of our live events, like the IVMV weekend at the lake. Come hang out with us and camp, swim, fish, ward off snakes, and play wiffle ball, go to Duffy's. It's a packed weekend. For information, go to ivmv.com/lake. And I looked at the event today, and it says 20 people are coming, and I think it were closer to 30 with guests of guests and all that. And it says that there's 66 people interested. So, guys, I'm looking into renting a porta potty. I've always wanted to host an event that required a porta potty. So, wow. You know,
I'm glad that was on your list of aspirations.
My dream is coming true. Actually, when Ian was out here last weekend camping, he really wants to. He thinks we should build an outhouse instead of renting a porta potty. So I don't know. I like that idea.
Composting outhouse.
Yeah, I really like the idea. Tawny is not on board, but I don't know. I think having an outhouse would be cool. So, that is the weekend of August 12th. So, again, go to ivmv.com/lake for information. So, thanks for downloading this episode. We'll be back on Wednesday night to talk about this series with the Nationals. Should be a good series. The Cubs have Hendricks, Lackey, and Hamill taking the mound. So, let's see what the Cubs can do against the Nationals with their 3-4-5 while facing Scherzer, Gonzalez, and Strasburg. So, we will talk about that series on the midweek episode. And until Wednesday night, go Cubs. About damn time. We're gonna pop champagne by the lakeside. When the evening comes, when the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.